This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice is a choice. You know, God has already given us the power to choose. Come on, I want you to say, God has given me the power to choose. You're already given that measure of the power by faith to choose. So your decisions, you have the power to choose. You can either make the choice to please God or displease God. Amen? You can make the choice of either going the right way or the wrong way. You can either make the wrong choice or the right choice. That it's already been granted to us. But if you don't know what the right choice is, that makes it a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? That's where deception comes in. That's where God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why he says it's important to assemble, to learn. Jesus said, come to me and learn from me so that individuals could grow. And growth is an essential part in the kingdom of God. Growth. He desires us to grow. The word says, as your soul prospers, as your soul grows, so will you. You will prosper. Amen? You know, everybody wants to prosper without doing anything. They think that if they give tithe, you're going to prosper. Let me share something with you. If you're an individual that squanders God's money, if you're out of line and doing disobedience, your tithe will be stolen. Has everybody got it? If you're out of line, how do you expect God to get to you? He'll be faithful to return, but the devil will steal everything God tries to send, no matter what. So that's why he says faithful. We're to be faithful servants. We're to be a faithful steward. He looks for faithfulness. And that's what he's raising up right now. The people that are faithful, are you faithful to not only the seed of God? Are you faithful to the word of God? Or are you faithful to the house of God? Are you faithful? Or are you still doing what you want to do according to what you desire or what you feel? Are you truly faithful where God has planted you? Are you still grumbling and complaining? Are you still not sold out yet? You're still fighting for your life. These are the areas that we need to judge ourselves so that we can receive what God has. Because if we're not willing to judge us, he will. Amen? He will. Are we faithful? You know, there are the spirits that like to destroy your destiny. Everyone has a call. Amen. We have a purpose and we have a destiny. And if you think that the enemy is just going to sit back and allow you to fulfill the call, your purpose and destiny, you're more deceived than the enemy. He is not going to sit back. He's going to attack you. He's going to steal from you. He's going to do anything he can of what you let him to. That's why the word says, make no place for the devil. This is not about religion. This is about relationship. You cannot live on the area of what your mother and father do. You can't live on the area of what your pastor does. You must live on the area of what you do with God. Amen? I can't save you. Nobody here can save one another. That's all we can do is encourage them to get right with God so God can rescue them. Amen? It is important, but it's important that we come under the word of God, that we come under the anointing of God. One of the things the devil loves to do is bring separation. Just like the sheep, the wolf comes and lures a sheep out of the flock so he can eat them up. And what does he do? He begins to impart in them things that are deceptive. And then he loves to send that sheep back into the flock to cause a cancer. So it's important that we discern these things. It's very important. Because we'll be judged by what we do. Every word will be judged. Everything will be done. Anything that's not under blood will be judged. And we're in such a time and season that things are happening and are escalating in such a way that if we're not awake, if we're not sober and discerning what's going on all around us and what God is trying to tell us and bring us to and protect us to and provide us to, we will miss, and we could be taken out. We will miss the movement right now, what the Spirit's trying to do. You know, everybody wants to be in God's movement, but not willing to pay the price to get in it. There's a move of God right now, a quick move of God, a tremendous move of God. There's transferring of things. There's a tremendous shift right now. We're in it. It's happening. It's a preparation. It's a time of rebuild. It's a time of fortifying. It's a time of getting the houses right in order. It's a time that we get in order. It may be the last time. Only God knows. Would you turn to Leviticus chapter 20? Leviticus 20. In verse 22. Praise God. Leviticus 20 and verse 22. Let's speak it together. You shall therefore what? Keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. That means practice them. Perform them. He didn't say just know them. He said perform them, practice them. That the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. Hello. Verse 23, you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. In other words, he's sending you to a land of milk and honey. That does not mean that milk is going to grow. That does not mean that honey is going to come from the land. There's not going to be rivers of milk and rivers of honey. Do you understand? This means that it is a land that is fertile. It is a place where seed can be planted. It is a place where things can grow. Growth is established in this land. Has everybody got it? It's the land that God promised that he can send his people. See, there are lands where God sends us, even right now, places that he sends us in fellowships. It is called a land. Amen? It's called a land. So when God sends people somewhere to learn, this is a land where milk and honey are flowing. Why? Because it's a land that is fertile so that what you intake, you can grow. Is everybody with me? Is anybody with me? Praise God. Thank you. And he says that this is a place where, in verse 25, read it with me. And you shall therefore what? Distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. You shall not make yourselves an abominable by beast or a what? By bird. Or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. So he says, look it, I'm in this land that you're coming to, I'm going to teach you what is clean and unclean. I'm going to teach you what is holy and unholy. I'm going to teach you the things that you can touch and the things you can't touch. But you've got to be willing to submit to my way. That's why the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. Because you're not willing to submit. You can't resist. You can't resist. You will touch unclean things. You will agree with unclean things. You will make wrong decisions. This is not religion. Again, this is relationship. You know, just because people go to church doesn't make them right. They may have an act in church, but man, go to their house and stay there for a week and see what's up. I won't go there right now. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Speak it with me. And you shall be what? Holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be what? That you should be mine. That you should be mine. See, his desires that were his. His desires that we become like-minded, like-willed. So there's always a learning process. We never stop learning, and we never stop exchanging because we want to grow. If you don't have a desire to grow, then there's something wrong. If you think you made it, you're way out of order. You're full of pride. Again, the land of milk and honey is fertile soil. It's the land that is nurtured by flowing water, nutritional minerals that plants can grow with plenty and abundance. There is no lack on that land. Amen? Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Verse 1, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not want or I shall not lack. Look at this. He says, he makes me lie down in what? Green pastures, a place where you can eat. He leads me besides what? Still waters, a place that you could drink. He restores my soul. He's saying, look at, if you'll eat of the things I give you and drink of the things I give you, your soul will be converted. Your soul will prosper, and then so will you. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the path of what? Righteousness. Not self-righteousness, not pride, not good, not evil. Righteousness. It's different. For his name's sake, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil. In other words, fear will not mislead you. You will have dominion over fear. It depends what you eat. It depends what you drink. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In other words, he'll direct you. You'll know. You'll have a sense. The poke of the rod with the sheep. Come on. His rod and staff. Sometimes we need to get hit on the head a little bit. And verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why? Because in that land that is being overtaken, it was actually ruled by enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All green pastures, still waters. These are spiritual places of eating so that we do not lack, so that we can grow. You know, even in Genesis, it's powerful. In Genesis 3:3, and we don't have to go there, but the serpent deceived Eve. And what it says is, the serpent deceived her and she ate. The serpent deceived her and she ate. What did she do? She ate what he said. He convinced her to eat of what he had. Because what you speak is what you eat. Amen? What you speak is what you eat. What you think is what you become. And what you practice is what you serve. So that's why he said, perform my statutes. In other words, practice them. Practice them. When Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she no longer could grow spiritually. Her spiritual growth ceased. Does everybody understand that? She could no longer grow spiritually. Now, God had to use all the things of the natural realm to try to minister to his people. That's why they would suffer. Now they would learn through their sufferings instead of relationship. Things changed. In Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. In verse 16. Exodus 3 and verse 16. Let's speak it together. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. Egypt is known as the world, spiritual Egypt. And we're seeing it manifest. In fact, the spirit of Pharaoh is now ruling this country. Verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Now he's saying, listen, I'm sending you a place where your enemies, your deception reigns. I'm sending you into, in other words, when he took me and you out of the world, we still lived in a land of deception. Amen. He said, then they will heed your voice, and you shall come and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So here we see that riches are in places where deception reigns. Are you listening? Riches were in the places where deception reigns. Why? Because the land, the world is called the land of deception. So you and I come out again of the bondage of the world of worldly Egypt to go into a land of deception. So we must be careful not to eat of their delicacies, of the food of deception, by their traditions, by their real ritualistic ways of rebellion toward God. We cannot eat of these things because then we become like it. That's why the Bible tells us, if don't love the world or the ways of the world, or the love of the Father is not in you. That's a sense of integrity. See, there's an integrity that God requires, and in this integrity that God requires, it's the love of God that is expressed. So you don't love the world, you love God. It's a sense of integrity. See, the world is looking for integrity, godly integrity in men and women, where they are accountable, responsible before God. Is everybody all right? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Integrity is God's character in us, but it is expressed with his love. 1 Peter chapter 2. Somebody that cannot be trusted can't hold the integrity of God. Amen? If you can't trust someone, you obviously can't. They're not carrying the integrity of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes. But where's the integrity? Where's the honesty? Where's the stewardship? All of this, where's the love of God? All of this is associated with the integrity. And let me tell you, that integrity will change in what you eat. What you agree with. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, let's speak it together. Therefore, laying aside all malice of deceit and hypocrisy, envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is what? That he is gracious. Now listen. As babes desire the pure milk, not just milk of the word, but they desire the pure milk of the word. Pure milk will not pure milk of the word will promote a humble spirit for babes. It will promote a humble spirit for babes, and it'll put a desire in them to grow. Contaminated milk will promote pride and false maturity. Is everybody with me? There is things that are contaminated and things that are pure. In fact, milk today for individuals is actually dangerous food. The milk people drink today promotes cancer. It's got so many hormones and pesticides in it and everything, it is terrible for people to eat. Cow's milk is probably dangerous for people to eat, but they won't tell you because it's money market. But if you ever looked up the side effects of cow milk, it is deadly for me and you. Goat milk is what people should be drinking if they're going to drink milk. But see, in the spiritual arena, people are fed milk as babes. But there's a danger of staying on milk. It's called milk's bondage. Everyone say milk's bondage. Because when God is trying to get you off of milk, now, it's not just the things of partaking meat, it's what you practice. Because there are people partaking meat and still practicing milk. That's called milk's bondage. Milk's bondage. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is a deception of the enemy. He tries to get people to practice milk all the time instead of practicing meat. Again, you need a baby needs milk when they're a babe, right? But then it's time to cast off the milk. And it's time to eat the meat, but you must practice it. That's where there's a lot of division, because there's still many people in the body of Christ, 30, 40 years, 50 years in the body, and they're still practicing milk when they're supposed to be practicing meat. And it's milk's bondage. I'm telling you, it is dangerous to hold on to milk all the days of your life. It brings people into bondage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is everybody there? Verse 11. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Did you ever talk to somebody who's supposed to be a believer for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is, and they're still speaking carnal? Still speaking childish? Still talking about self? Still talking about the things of the world? It's because they're only practicing milk, and they're in bondage. It's called milk's bondage. Is everybody all right? Childish things are the things who individuals who practice just the milk of the word. This is milk's bondage. Even though they have been fed meat, they choose milk. Hebrews 5. It will prevent a person from growing and maturing. Isn't that what the enemy wants to do? It keeps a person in an immature state. Still carnal. Still blaming. Not an area of accountability. Still justifying. Still threatening. Hebrews 5. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to get something today. The enemy will be exposed in his tactic. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what is good and evil. The bondage of milk calls a state of immaturity, still not able to discern the things of present or see future. Still not able to discern of the things that are pleasing God and displeasing God. They are under the deception of the enemy's influence because you can only overcome through milk, through meat, not milk. Has everybody got it? If you notice, a baby that drinks milk always has to be cuddled, doesn't it? It has to be taken care of. Until that child outgrows, then its teeth grow. Now it's able to take in more solid food, isn't it? Because the body is requiring it so it can grow. The child goes from being carried to crawl to walk. It comes into that place where it now becomes more independent. But it's being nurtured. See, we want to become independent from the world and dependent on Him. That's where we want to get to. There's that place of growth and maturity. But if we're still practicing milk, we won't grow. That's where the Word says, always learning and never able to grow. Or always grow, always learning and never able to grow. Amen? Is everybody all right? Praise God. And in this, they are fed solid food, but they can't digest it or put it to practice. Still living in the past, but occasionally touching the future, but can't grab hold of it. Touch, 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 touch. It's like touching maturity, but just can't grab hold of it. They're still living in the past. See, we're to be living in the future to the present, not from the past to the present. Amen? That's why we are seated in heavenly places and blessed with every spiritual blessing. You won't stay there practicing milk. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1. Let's speak it together. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. People of the world. Behaving like those who live in the land of deception. Children of deception. Still behaving. Still not able to receive or taken under the carnal ways and the common sense ways. Again, they are fed solid food but can't digest it. Or what we call practice it, perform it. And Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. In verse 9. Let's speak it together. From whom will he teach what? Knowledge. Or in other words, whom will he release revelation to? And whom will he make to understand the message or interpret? Those just weaned from milk? Those drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, and line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. They would not hear. In other words, who's he going to release this revelations to? Those just weaned from. In other words, we must become weaned from the milk and begin to not only. Weaning from the milk means that you are taking the meat and partaking of the meat. You are practicing meat because you are in a state of maturing. If you go back again to the milk, it puts you in bondage from growth. You go back to your old ways. And he's saying, listen, I want to bring revelation. I want to bring impartation. I want to reveal these things, but I can't just reveal to these things for someone that's just come off of milk because they won't understand it. And he talks about stammering lips. This is also in First Corinthians, I think it's in 14, when he talks about those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit who speak with tongues. This is the scripture. He talks about that he would release the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they would speak in tongues, but yet they would not hear or they would not receive. It's because they're still on milk. Has everybody got it? Listen, much of the body of Christ is still only on milk, even though they're being fed. That's why there's still a belief that, yes, God can heal, but he can't heal me. There's still a belief that, oh, tongues is for them and not, it's only for the apostles. It's because they're still feeding milk and drinking milk. Has everybody got it? They're not taking meat. Meat changes us. Meat's a sign of maturing. It's the only way we can grow. Milk will sustain us for a period of time, but then it's time to be weaned from it and no longer practice the things of milk, but go on to practicing the things of meat. This is milk's bondage. Even though they are fed meat, they choose milk. That's a form of religion. I'm a good person. People tell you, ever, I'm a good person. They're meat. They're still milked. They're still on milk. I'm a good person. You're still drinking milk. You're not eating meat nor practicing it, and you're still practicing milk. Why? Because we know that the good don't make it home. Only righteous do. I'm going to say that again. The good don't make it home. Because the ones that say I'm good are looking at their works. They're not looking at the price that Jesus paid. Because the price that Jesus paid, we're to be following. And that tree will produce righteousness. Not deception. Not unfaithfulness. And not deceit. First, is everybody okay? 2 Peter chapter 2. Think about how much deception individuals are caught up on and still only practicing milk. And let me tell you, when the stuff starts happening, they're not going to know what to do. They'll be looking for someone that's been eating meat, practicing meat. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle. Let's speak it. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by a way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy apostles and of all the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, they're still drinking milk, and they're still practicing milk. Has everybody got it? They are not discerning, are they? Oh, when is this coming? Oh, one of the things aren't changed. Oh, man, you're not even seeing. Can't even see. Can't discern. They become scoffers and fools, taken advantage by the darkness because milk's bondage, not able to discern the time and season, nor they can't discern Satan's ministers that come as righteous ministers. They eat from them. I see them on TV all the time. Hi, I'm Reverend such and such. They're in the political arenas. They just, when they promote disasters and step in. Those are Satan's ministers. They have a form of godliness but deny the power. They call themselves reverends. They like to sit in the best places. They have been feeding people milk, and they drink milk and practice it themselves. They promote same-sex marriage and abortion and don't even know that's offensive to the Lord because they are blinded in the milk's bondage. That's reality. This is truth. We're in a season that things are going to be exposed. And you better stand up bold for what's about to happen. You better be willing to give your life and not turn. 2 Timothy 4. They have a form of godliness but deny its power. They speak great swelling words. And I heard this one guy on TV, I almost threw up. I thought, man, I don't even know what he's saying. He's so intellect, he's stupid. He's so smart, he's stupid. He's been theologized up and down. But no spirit. The only spirit I saw was one with claws. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's speak it. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they'll stay on milk. They will refuse to come off the milk. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers that will teach milk. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. To have itching ears. It's happening right now. You can see the separation in the body of Christ. There are people who run into the place of milk, and people who run into the place of meat. Some people don't know where they're going. 1 John chapter 2. Well, I've been involved in this church for 40 years, and you're still drinking meat. I mean, still drinking milk. But I don't want to leave. You kidding me? I've been knowing the pastor and the family for generations. Bear, I can't just walk away from them and get the truth. Oh, yes, you can. Because practicing truth makes you free. Oh, yes, you can. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. Let's start at 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God. Listen, you cannot do the will of God by practicing milk all your life. You may start that way, but you're going to have to progress. Verse 18. Read it with me. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Why did that happen? Because they chose to continue on milk, even though they were fed meat. Ooh. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. It's amazing in how many don't know and discern. Why? Because if you're not in the anointing, let me share something with you. Milk does not fuel the anointing. Meat does. I'm going to say that again. Milk does not fuel the anointing. Meat does. Why? Meat is like a log that you put on a fire. That's why it's important. What else fuels the anointing? Oil. That's why you worship. Fuels it. Fuels that fire. Again, milk does not fuel the anointing. Meat does. Oh, hallelujah. In Philippians 3, I see many people run and go back to milk. Then you run into them on the street. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed, man. I got a job. And this, they don't talk about what Jesus is doing. They talk about their finances and their girlfriends and boyfriends and this and that. Still milked out. We ought to call them milk duds. Oh, a milk dud. Philippians 3. So if you see any milk duds, be careful. Don't become a milk dud. Verse 13, Philippians 3, verse 13. Let's speak it together. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. In other words, they're maturing because they're practicing meat, not milk. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. Note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Why? Because they're still milked. They're still milking it. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things under Himself. So we've got to let go of the milk. Partake of the meat and practice the meat. So you don't become a milk dud, right? In 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to close here. Milk's bondage. You know, even the word tells us that we're to go now. We're to go on. We're to grow on besides the principles of just salvation and baptisms and things. We're to go on. Those are areas of milk. Salvation is milk. We want to go on to meat. We're going to load up that Holy Ghost bazooka and kick butt. The Bible says the heavens are taken by force. Listen, you're in the land of deception. You're oppressed in every area. If you're not fueling the anointing, if you're not a worshiper and taking in the word of meat and practicing the meat, the enemy will easily deceive you and you'll go in that cycle again, over and over and over, and there'll be limitations. It's not about how much money you have. It's about where you are spiritually. Money can't buy spiritually. Somebody tried to do that once. He was a sorcerer. He tried to buy the anointing. Money doesn't buy the anointing. Your death does. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. And verse 8, let's speak it together. It says, be sober, be vigilant. How are you going to be sober and vigilant if you're still on milk? You're still dependent on other people to feed you. Again, there's nothing wrong with milk as babes. But then it's time to get weaned from the milk and grow and practice the meat, not the milk. If you keep going back to milk, then you're under milk's bondage. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or deceive. Resist him. How are you going to resist him if you're not submitting? Submit to God, resist the devil. You cannot resist the devil's temptations and deception if you're not submitting to God and practicing meat. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, in other words, now we got to suffer to learn. Perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Settle you to a place where you are not moved, where you are able to discern, where you know that the only way is to maintain victory is in the anointing. That's it. In the anointing. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. No longer practicing milk. Milk's bondage. I see it so much. I see it so much. Stop being a man pleaser and start being a God pleaser. Who cares what man says about you? It's matter what he says about you. Amen? Praise God. Let the past go and go forward. Let's grow for it. Amen. Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. We ask that the seed that's been imparted will be protected by the blood of the Lamb. And that you would sever us and break us loose from milk's bondage. That we may grow and prosper and become faithful in all areas of our life to bring you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah.